Jump into the world of Wildcrats at Philadelphia's Please Touch Museum. Explore the world of this PBS Kids series in the Wildcrats Creature Power Museum exhibit, opening May 31st. Discover animal habits from around the world as you swing through the trees like a spider monkey, sneak through the forest like a jaguar, hunt for lunch like a platypus, and much more in this adventurous new exhibit. Get tickets at pleasetouchmuseum.org. That's pleasetouchmuseum.org.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
On today's episode of UFC Unfiltered, Jimmy's not here, but my good buddy Phoenix Cannavale is here. Krista Badus is here. We got the great Damian Maya calling in. And his opponent for this weekend's calling in also. Kamaru Usman's calling in. What a fantastic show.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Are you waiting for a response from me?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What if I just kept doing that?
I think
something's wrong with me?
Yeah.
There might be. There really might be.
In a good way.
Wow, everybody. Jimmy's voice really got pretty. No.
Isn't it?
Jimmy's not here again. We don't know where Jimmy is, you know? But I know he's not going to be having as much fun as me today is all I know. I got my buddy, the not tall, yet very dangerous Phoenix Cannavale in studio. Yes! Yes! Finally, somebody that shares my passion, not only for martial arts, but for not only life in general, but for pop culture, for movies. We're going to talk about, listen, plenty of stuff to talk about. We got the great Damian Maya calling in and the explosive Kamaru Usman call. Look at this motherfucker. He's, before I even finish it, I see him, he's nodding his head like, oh, he got the name right. Could you just have a
that poker? Line is,
could you have a poker face when I say the guy's name?
Positive encouragement. Yeah.
It was.
Kamaru Usman.
Yeah.
I like Kamaru. I talked to him. Can I call him Usman?
Sure.
What does he have, a nickname?
The Nigerian Kamaru. Nightmare.
Every time I say Kamaru, I want to say Kamaru.
Yeah.
I wonder if Kamaru likes the Kamaru. You know I love Kamaras.
Yeah.
I get a nickname when they call me Kamaru Bucko.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Phoenix, I'm so happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you too. And I want to congratulate you again on,
what?
Becoming a Hall of Famer.
Now, Phoenix, don't embarrass me. Stop it! Chris the producer hitting the applause. People at home don't know I pressed it myself.
Because when I met you, you had just beat George St. Pierre, and thank now you. Look.
Well, listen, A, I got no control over that. I'm happy about it.
It's great.
It's a nice thing. Nobody is more happy than Ray Longo.
Yeah.
You know? Somehow he takes all the credit.
But wait, I don't. How does it actually work? Is there a hall somewhere? Like where?
Like the Hall of Justice?
Yeah. Where does
like
where
the Hall of Justice from the Justice League?
Yes. Where does the stuff go? Is it just a picture up somewhere? Like I don't understand how the whole thing works.
All I know is June 5th, the Sarah crew,
right?
Sarah clan will be over in
July
Vegas, 5th.
July 5th.
Did I say June?
Yeah.
No, not June 5th.
So July 5th. So
you
that's,
silly
is that
guy.
Is still International Fight Week?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay. What a coinkadink. It's not a coinkadink at all.
It's one of the best experiences I've ever had at UFC events. I went to International Fight Week many years ago.
Isn't it fun?
So much fun. 4th of July weekend.
I wasn't there last year.
No, this was like years ago. It was the first press access I've ever had. And
I've been
it
there
was
a while ago.
It was Chris. It was Chris and Anderson.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That was a while ago.
Yeah. I was so nervous because I didn't know anybody. And it was my first time doing a press thing. And I felt like, you know, in high school when you're the cool kids table, you don't know where to sit. So I sat with the Brazilians.
All I know is. All I know
they
is.
Look like them. Yeah.
Phoenix. All I know is this is the cool table. You want to see the not cool table?
Okay. Come on. Chris, why do you get it so bad?
Chris the producer is the fucking got, he's got the coat. Why do I attack my buddy? Why do I attack this guy?
And we're technically at the same table.
Dude,
anyway.
We're at the same table, but because there's like a line, and no, technically it's not. Yeah. It technically, these are two tables put together, and I use any reason to attack you, because you know why? I do it for the fans. How Phoenix likes, like she likes to call him the UFC Unfiltered Army, but I don't like to say that.
Right.
Because that's corny.
Okay.
Phoenix, don't call it the UFC Unfiltered Army. I hate when you do that.
What?
I don't know, Phoenix. I'm just being an ass. Listen to me. Did you check out, I can't wait to talk about these fights coming up this weekend.
And I know you're going to kick me in the shin.
You didn't watch it, did you?
No.
Why didn't you watch it?
Because I fell asleep.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
What?
You're talking about Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai on YouTube Red. They're not sponsoring this show.
I know.
But, damn, do I like me some Ralph Macchio.
You're at the cool table. Yeah.
Touche, Chris the producer.
No, I'm sure it's good. I'm dying to watch it. Everybody says it's great.
What about Chris? Chris the producer is a better Counter Striker than you think. He comes back with some doozies. But to both of you and to everybody listening, they know. Listen, they trust my judgment.
Yeah.
They from video games. To the Vive video game that me and Genova play, he's one of the friends on. He's my friend online, but I met him through the show. It sounds like it sounds weird.
No,
but I play with him online. I know I'm a 43-year-old man. Don't judge me, Phoenix. And
how can I judge you?
Between that and movies and series, whether it's on Netflix, whether it's on UFC Fight Pass,
yeah.
I got to give a plug. It is a UFC sponsorship. Or if it's on this YouTube Red, which I knew nothing about, but it's basically about what the characters of Daniel's son, and Johnny, the bad boy. And now it's like how many 30 years in the future they have kids and who's, it's just, listen, did you like the movies?
The Karate Kid movies?
Yes.
Of course I did.
Okay. Not the Jaden Smith one.
No, because that should have been called The Kung Fu Kid, and yeah. I don't even want to get into that.
No,
I'm still mad about it.
It should have been called what?
The Kung Fu Kid. He's in China.
I thought it should have been called The Shit Fest.
It wasn't good.
Anyway,
but
I wasn't
it's hard
a big
for
fan.
Me to shit on anything with Jackie Chan in it, because it feels like sacrilege to shit on anything with Jackie Chan.
It's easier for me, though.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth. But the first two, I can watch those first two. My kids watched it.
Definitely.
So now we're watching this series. What a fun show. You would dig it.
Yeah. And the music of the original Karate Kids, like, I get chills.
It's got flashbacks. Yeah. You know a little bit more about Johnny, who's, you think's just a total dick. And in a lot of ways he is, but is he just enjoyable and fun?
That's good.
Do you ever think you'd be rooting for Johnny?
You know, I watched some crazy thing on YouTube once, and it shows how Daniel's son is kind of the asshole in the equation, because he really steals Johnny's girl, and it's like funny. It's an interesting perspective.
It is. But this show, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But this show is actually it's just I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. And if people are saying, well, Matt, you like Justice League, and a lot of people didn't like that. Or Suicide Squad. I might be an easy critic for some certain shit. You know what I mean?
Sometimes it's just shut up and have fun with the movie.
Sometimes
and don't
like
be
that.
Too picky about it. Because I didn't really love Justice League, but when they fought each other.
Yeah. That's
when
fun.
You see,
you're a
yeah,
fanboy
when you
with
see
that.
Flash versus Superman, and Superman's looking at him, and Flash is like, how the fuck
that was
are
so
you
cool.
looking at me?
That was cool. I love that part.
And then when he headbutts Wonder Woman, you're like, oh.
It's very. The one thing about some of these DC movies, specifically Zack Snyder.
Right.
It's very visually pleasing. Like there's certain spots like
Man of Steel is gorgeous, but
amazing. He's closing his eyes, the ground starts vibrating, you see the snow moving.
Yeah.
It's just it'll get me emotional. Not really.
Right.
I get emotional with my kids. That always
don't lie.
But my point is this, if they don't trust my judgment, Ray Longo, the great Ray Longo, he likes it also.
It's nostalgia.
So I think you should watch it. And we'll talk about that again. And before the show is over, because I know we got to delve into some MMA stuff.
We've got lots. We've got lots of news.
We are going to be doing a movie minute later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about Infinity War.
Let's do that.
So I can't wait to hear your thoughts about that.
I did see that.
I have plenty.
Did you see it?
Plenty of
thoughts. Well, then you're allowed to chime in.
Thank you.
Jimmy would just make fun of me for being a man child.
Yeah.
I don't judge Jimmy, Phoenix.
For the things that
Phoenix,
he likes.
Phoenix, I don't judge him at all. Everybody's the same to me. But anyway, what time is Usman calling in? Because if he's not calling in, we could either go with some gossip or the
We got about 10 minutes before we call Kamara. So,
well, listen, you want to steer this ship and tell me what you would like to do?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think we should mention that Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier 2 has been set for Calgary on July 28th. That's the main event of that card.
And that's Dana's birthday.
That is. That's the big
fucking fight. That's an awesome fight. Yeah. The first fight was awesome. And it ended controversial.
Yeah, with the knee. And the, like, is that really the catalyst to what changed the whole knee rule? Do you think it was that fight?
I think it was a couple of different things. I mean, the Weidman Mousasi was part of that.
That's
It was just kind of an outcry about this. But it's because certain commissions haven't adopted the new rules, so it's still sort of up in the air. And I think you're going to keep seeing it until everybody adopts the same rules.
And Alvarez thinks that a win over Dustin too will put him right back into contention. So and it's an interesting fight because everybody believes that Poirier belongs in contention too after everything that he's done with his career. So it's interesting. I respect them both. And I think we need that fight too.
Well, since they you know, first of all, their fight was not only was their fight great, but since then they both had fight of the nights with Justin Gaethje, and they both beat Justin Gaethje. Was it both in the third round stoppage?
I think one went to the fourth. If let me say,
oh no, that's the fourth with
Eddie.
Dustin.
Eddie went
to the fourth. Oh, anyway, no, I think Eddie went to the.
Hold on.
No, I think Dustin went to the fourth because I remember thinking, how the hell is this fight still going?
Third was against Eddie, fourth was against
Dustin. Yeah, went to the
fourth. I should have rolled my instinct. I second guessed myself.
But it was early in the fourth report. Yeah. It was 30 seconds.
Well, listen, styles make fights. And then they had a little banter back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're both rightfully so think that they're the number one contender and think they should get a title shot. So, you know, there's a little bit of static between them. But this it has to happen. There's just too many guys at lightweight to say definitively this guy deserves a title shot. He doesn't. Tony Ferguson's in the mix. Connor's in the mix. You know,
it's such
too many
a
people.
Fun division.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Kevin
such
Lee.
Such a fun division.
And that for, and you said that's for what date is that?
July 28th in Calgary. That's also Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Tish Torres is on that card.
That's an interesting fight. But I think Joanna's range, it might be a problem for Tisha.
What was, you know, Thug Rose, we had Thug Rose and Pat Barry on the other day.
I met her recently in person. Saying, it was great.
Yeah, she's such a she's such a nice person.
Yeah.
They worked with Tisha before, and they were saying her footwork and whatnot is going to give a lot of, they think she's going to pose a lot of problems.
I think so.
She's tough, Tisha Torres.
She's so tough. And she's so strong, man. She like trains like a freak in the gym. I think she has a degree in kinesiology also. Very, very interesting fighter. I love watching Tisha.
Give me some more gossip.
Well, I was just going to say also on that card, not to be overlooked, Jose Aldo versus Jeremy Stephens. So that card's shaping up to be unbelievable.
It's an interesting fight too.
Yeah, Randa Markos, Nina Ansaroff.
You know why? Only because I got ADD. Give me the date again.
July 28th in Calgary.
Oh, man.
Remember that's your boss's birthday.
It is. It is. We're going to get that guy. He's got everything.
I know.
Just give my
friendship. I have a very bad joke about that.
About what?
About what to give a guy who has everything.
Go ahead.
It's stupid. You're going to make fun of
it. I will just, I'll give you my honest opinion, Phoenix. Listen, you got to remember, I'm friends with Dean Thomas. I'm used to bad jokes.
Matt would never make fun of a joke.
I would never make fun of it. First of all, Chris Producer knows I don't goof on anybody.
I don't think it works because it's a visual joke.
Well, I'm looking at you. What's
all right,
up?
All right.
Let's see. This holds water.
So
we like to have fun here.
I know.
On UFC.
All right. So there's this woman and her husband. They've been married for 25 years.
Yeah.
And her husband, John, is super super wealthy.
Okay.
So Mildred, his wife, calls up their friend Eileen and says, you know, it's his birthday. I don't know what to get him. You know, he's got everything. He's super wealthy. What do you get him? And she goes, well, Mildred, have you ever given a blowjob?
Okay.
She's like, no, I've never. I don't know. I don't even know what to do. She's like, well, this is what you do. You got a couple hours till he comes home. Practice all day on a ketchup bottle. She goes, on a ketchup bottle? Yeah, just practice. Get it right. You'll be fine. So she's practicing. Finally, John comes home and she grabs his dick and goes,
and she's like,
okay. All right.
I fucking love it. I'm gonna use it, and I'm gonna give that one to Dean. You're a sick person, Phoenix.
I figured you liked that one.
Save that one for Jimmy. Jimmy would have got all bright eyed and bushy tailed.
All right.
I liked it. I did like it.
We can get
Phoenix,
back to the news.
I think you and Dean Thomas should be a comedy duo. No. Where you could be like a tag team duo. No.
See, I know what this means. You know, see, I took Dean Thomas on my fitness show and did made you? Him do the MC Hammer dance, and he did it.
Don't make
he did it on
not,
a fitness show.
Could you not
show.
Make my friend jump through hoops? It's degrading.
It was quite amusing.
It's fucking degrading. What are you going to have him do next? The moonwalk?
Yeah,
Phoenix, could you leave my
idea.
Friend alone? Fucking Dean Thomas does anything in front of a camera.
He'll do anything.
He got a goddamn tattoo.
He'll do anything.
On looking for a fight.
What'd he get?
He got a tattoo saying, Matt, I won.
No,
I
he did
I
not.
Do. You're taking this shit too seriously.
He's out of his fucking mind.
I like me some Dean Thomas. Now, Kamaru Usman is... He was supposed to fight Ponzinibbio.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And what happened? How many weeks ago did Damian Maia take this fight?
I think Ponzinibbio pulled out on the 21st of April, and I think Damian came in on like the 25th or 26th. So it's like, you know, 3.5 weeks, pretty much.
All right. I want to see if he was already training for something, Damian Maia.
Yeah.
But
we'll find
for
out.
Kamaru Usman, it's a different, it's got to change up the strategy. It has to, because he could utilize his grappling to make a big difference in the fight with Ponzinibbio, who I believe Ponzinibbio was a black belt as well, is he?
Yeah.
But the level, he's not the, I'm going to
Damian Maia's
say,
just tricky, yeah. Because he just sets you up, like you think you can get something,
but
and then he's...
styles make fights, and a lot of Kamaru Usman's fights are taking place on the floor. I mean, but he's shown that he has power standing up.
Yeah. And he's worked. He's considerably worked on his stand up.
Does he use his wrestling just to like use it like the anti grapple, just to keep it standing up and look to hurt him? I mean, this has to change the strategy. Because Ponzinibbio is nasty standing up. So if he blends in those nice, well timed takedowns, that could definitely just get him ahead on the cards, whether he was going to look to trust in his stand up or not. But now it's almost like it strategically, unless he feels, we're going to find this out soon enough, but I like to build up to it. Unless he feels. He's good enough on his top game is good enough on top where he could just close down and nullify the attack of Damian Maia on bottom.
I think he's going to try to stand with him. I think he's going to try to do what Tyron Woodley couldn't do because Woodley was hurt. You know,
and for Damian, I want to ask, you know, with Colby Covington, what was different than him fighting some of these other wrestling based guys where he's just strangling them? You know what I mean? Like, he went with guys that are tricky guys, and mm-hmm. I mean, everything looks similar. What did Colby do differently, or did he have an off night? What went down in that fight? That's
well,
what I
that's
want to
good
know.
Question. Maybe
right? I'm not asking
thing.
You.
It's
I'm
the
asking.
First thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First things first. You're the realist.
I see. This like, is why
have,
I love you.
We have fun.
That's why I love you.
I like your Fight Club shirt.
Yeah.
Did you like that movie?
I did.
I mean, you were in the shirt.
I loved it. I loved the movie, actually.
It was interesting.
I watched it a billion times.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's like very psychological. I like stuff like that.
Yeah? Did you like the movie Seven?
I did.
Jimmy thinks it was so overrated.
I know.
What's
I heard.
In the box?
I heard it on the show.
Jimmy likes
Hello?
To be different.
Oh.
Hello, is this Kamaru Usman? Hello, is this Kamaru?
He's not here right now.
Is this
Who's
a
beast?
I really feel like we're being hosed.
Are we being punked? Kamaru, is this you or is this some weird dude in your Yes?
Yeah.
What's up, Kamaru?
I got it. What's up, Matt? How you guys
What's
doing?
Up, man? You Jimmy's not here today. You with myself and the great Phoenix Cannavale.
Hey, Kamaru.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're now, good.
Now how you feeling, man? Now this let me ask you now. You were all set to fight Ponzinibbio, and that's a huge fight, very dangerous guy. Now you're fighting, I'm going to say, an equally dangerous guy, but strategically, it's a different fight altogether. Tell me about this. How did this go down? How'd you get the call for Damian, and was he the first guy offered?
Yeah, it was basically, Damian was a guy, as we both know, you know, had two back-to-back fights that didn't go his way. So, you know, he was a guy, he was the exception in the division. If there was a guy that I'm going through and say, okay, that guy needs a break, or you know what, that guy needs to fight me, he was the exception that I would say, oh, he might need a break. You know, he might want to take some time off. You know, that's up to him. He's a veteran. He's been in the game for a long time. He's paid his dues. He's put in his time. And, you know, but I was going through the after Ponzinibbio pulled out, and I really honestly didn't think I was going to get a fight. I don't think I'm going to get a fight. you know, what I don't want to do is settle for fighting a guy that's out of the top 15 again, and it's just another fight. I don't want to do that. I want a fight that's going to propel me and help me elevate towards what I want, which is that welterweight title. And so I went through a couple of days there where I thought nothing was going to happen, and all of a sudden I got a call. They're like, hey, you got Damian Maia. I'm like, sign me up. You know, this is a fight that I had for 2 years ago.
Yes.
I never thought this fight would materialize, and hey, it's here. So you know what? He possesses and he presents a different danger, a different game plan. But at the end of the day, you want to be the best in the world, you got to beat the best in any given day. So that's, you know, I had to take it.
Well, he's a huge name. And not only that, you said 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, actually it's written down, Chris the producer put it in notes, but you did say you were going to finish, you'd finish him if you fought him, I believe in the first round. Do you still, does that still hold up now? Do you feel that?
Well, you know, you don't feel the way you feel just today. You don't feel that today. But, no, I said each and every time I step in the octagon, I step in to dominate from start to finish. That's just how I compete. That's my mindset. And that will never change as long as I'm competing. So exactly, when I step in there, I'm going to try to dominate from start to finish. If that finish comes in that first round, so be it. Whether I knock him out, whether I choke him out, or whether I just drag it out and beat on him, hey, so be it. But the key remains the same. I'm going to dominate from start to finish.
Now, in a lot of your fights, now your wrestling's phenomenal, and it comes through in all your fights. It's in your back pocket. Even if you want to work your stand-up,
yeah,
it's always there to go back to. Does that change with such a dangerous master of jiu-jitsu like Damian Maia, who's just one wrong move could be a problem? Or do you feel your wrestling could nullify his jiu-jitsu?
That's a really good question, because a lot of people would think that. But the way I wrestle, it's so, and I when I say that I felt that I was the best grappler in the division, I meant that. The way that I wrestle, a lot of guys don't wrestle like me. And that comes from years and years of doing the wrong moves or doing the right thing, the wrong things that weren't my conducive to my body, and using my body in the appropriate way all through wrestling. You know, doing moves and getting caught in other moves and other things like that. So I've learned how to wrestle. I've learned how to shorten things up or lengthen things or go hard or go slow. So, no, you would think that would change, but not with me. If I want to wrestle, I can take him down at will. Everyone knows that. I can take him down at will and beat on him on the ground if I want to. But, no, it doesn't change. That wrestling is always in the back pocket. You get too aggressive, you might be in for a ride.
When you were training, starting for the original fight with Santiago, and then having to switch it up for Damian Maia, I'm a fight nerd, so I like to, now I can do this, or I could use this or utilize that. Is there anything that got you excited, or how did you have to change training camp for a new opponent?
Yeah, the one thing that got me excited was the emphasis that people put on rankings nowadays. They put so much emphasis on rankings. I went from fighting the number 10 guy to now fighting number 5 guy, to where I actually do get a chance to elevate, as opposed to beating Santiago and I'd still be in the same place. So, yes, that got me excited. But really not that much strategy-wise. I mean, fighting Santiago Ponzinibbio, I was going to have to utilize my wrestling anyway, and mix it up with my striking. The same with Damian Maia. I'm just going to mix the wrestling with the striking. And you know, that should get the job done. That's gotten the job done each and every time I've stepped in that octagon. So I expect nothing different.
Now, I seen you. You remember this, right? It was when Al was going to fight. I think it was just recently. We talked, Camaro. Yeah, we were bullshitting. It was great to see you. And then after that, it must have been right after that, you got into a little something with that Colby Covington, you know, God. And then there was a video of that. And then you taking jabs at him at the press conference. So like, where is that? He's trying to not play into it too much. He's trying to pretty much avoid the back and forth, I feel. Kind of being like, Junior on the little kid's table. He's trying not to go back and forth, because I feel he goes back and forth, that will set up a fight with you guys. What's going on with you two?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I mean, that's a fight that's been in the making for a while. They've tried to make that fight, I think about 3 or 4 times now. He's turned it down each and every time because, let's look at it stylistically, I am the worst possible matchup. not just for him, but for everybody in the division. But I am the worst matchup for him. He can't utilize the wrestling that he uses. He can't do that. And he can't bust a grape in a food fight. I mean, this guy has pillow hands. And so, yeah, he knows that if that fight were to happen, he would be in trouble. And he knows that if he even feeds into that, if he even says something back, that fans are going to run with it, and that's a fight that is going to be demanded so highly that it's going to have to happen. And so he's trying to avoid it, but I'm just going to be honest with you guys. There's a lot of, like, I've been around the fight game for a long, long time now, and just there's one guy. I can't explain the feeling. The only thing I can compare to it is when I was a kid and you knew you had to get in a fight after school at 3 o'clock in 4th, 5th grade, and you just can't explain that emotional roller coaster, but you're just so upset that you start to cry because you just have so much rage inside you. He's the one guy that I am uncomfortable being around. It doesn't matter where it is. I'm just, my heart rate just rises, and I literally want to punch a hole in his head.
Why?
That's the one guy. The more I dissected this over the years, the more this is a fight that has been in the making for years. I mean, me and this guy have so many things in common that it's scary. It's scary, and I'm a kid born in Nigeria, yeah. And he's a little BI boy born in Oregon, you know. So it's so crazy how our paths have crossed so many times, and we literally live 20 miles apart from each other. Mm-hmm. So it's a fight that has to happen. It's a fight that everyone wants to see. So, you know, it is what it is. Everyone's going to, of course, try to avoid me and go around me just to get to that title before I do. Because they know once I get to that title, they have no shot at it.
Let me remind the audience that, you know, Kamaru Usman is on an 11-fight, you know, winning streak, including 7 in a row inside the octagon, Phoenix. That's no fucking...
That's not an easy feat.
I always say how come people aren't talking about him more. And I'm not saying that because you're on the phone, Kamaru.
No.
I do say that. Now, and let me ask you, though, Kamaru. I'm sorry, Phoenix.
That's okay.
With Colby's fight versus RDA, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm a guy, I'm a realist. I have no hate, no malice in my heart. Like, I recognize skill where skill is. And in breaking down that fight, I can see Colby out wrestling him for about 2 rounds, you know, maybe just getting on him because we're, as wrestlers, we're used to that lactic acid buildup and in our muscles and our arms and still pushing through that. So I can see him getting a hold of RDA and just kind of wearing on him, grinding on him for about 2 rounds until RDA's tired and then, you know, it becomes just a sloppy striking match after that. But yeah, I see that. I mean, Khabib took that, you know, RDA down. Khabib dominated him. So I can see Colby doing that. But Colby's striking is so trash, I can also see RDA tagging him and hurting him. So
it
goes back and forth. I really don't know. It could go back and forth. But that's the ways that I see both guys winning. One guy kind of wearing the other guy out, and they just stand up and strike for the rest of the round, or the other guy lands something and hurts him.
Yeah, Khabib is throwing, though. I think that is the... Like, I know, not that Colby doesn't throw, but I'm not sure if he's cracking too many eggs up there. I don't know if he's...
No,
he doesn't look like he's got heavy hands.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Two different classes of grappling. Yeah. I mean, Khabib and the other guy.
And Khabib's got heavy hands. I feel Khabib does, even though he's awkward, he might be a little awkward standing up, he's coming after you. You know what I mean?
Did Al tell you he hit hard? Or?
Yeah, Al said he had better striking than you'd think, and he was harder than hit than you'd think, because Al's very accurate.
Kamaru, how is it training with Henry Hooft? I mean, he is just an absolute legend in the kickboxing world. You know, how has that been? It's South Florida, right?
Yeah, we live in South Florida. Down at Hard Knocks in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'm a guy who, of course, I like acquiring as much knowledge as possible from as many sources as I can. But I'm a guy who, that's my roots. That's where I started. Mm-hmm. I learned the basic kickboxing from him. And we've continued to build on that. And so, yeah, it's something that's been working. There's no reason to change it. Of course, I can go here and there and get some more tools and keep putting them in the toolbox. But that fundamental stays the same, and that's what we work with Henry is stay fundamental, because at the end of the day, all that spinning shit, all that, you know, fancy, nice, fancy shit, it's not going to work when you're tired.
Yeah.
So you got to stay with the basics, you got to stay with the fundamentals, and that's something that Henry pushes a lot. And as you can see that in my fights. If I get the opportunity to touch a guy, they're going to sleep.
I love it.
I'm wondering, just I got to ask you this one last question, because I know you want to go for that championship belt. How do you see yourself and Tyron Woodley working out in a fight? I mean, these are two guys that have heavy hands and have great wrestling. What do you think about that matchup eventually for the future?
Oh, yeah, we salivating over here. That's the matchup, of course. That's a dream matchup. That's something that I want. Nothing against Tyron. I mean, Tyron's a true champion and exemplifies what a champion should be. You know, nowadays there's all this, you know, social media, you got to talk, you got to say, you got to do this Conor shit and all this and that. Don't get me wrong, I understand you got to entertainment as well, but, you know, Tyron really is a champion and still one of the old school guys that has respect for the sport mm-hmm. and the guys in the sport. You know, a lot of respect for him, but let's be serious. I want to be the champion, and I'm going to be the champion. So I got to go through him, so I plan on running him over to be the champion.
Well, let me tell you, I'm going to be watching this weekend. Styles make fights. I love Damian Maia's jiu-jitsu. I'm a big fan of yours. I can't wait to watch this weekend. It's the main event, UFC Fight Night Chili, this Saturday, May 19th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. Yo, Kamaru, man, thanks so much. And I always tell you when I see you, if you are ever in New York, please jump in studio with us.
Oh, man, I will for sure do that. Something I'm going to talk to my manager about. We got to just get a plan together and just hit the whole media circuit out there in New York, because you guys do a great job.
Awesome. Man. Thanks, homie.
Awesome.
Hey, best of luck, bro.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye. Take care, Kamaru.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation, because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for a free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
All right, man. Listen, I like his attitude. I've been telling you forever, Chris, the producer, that I people are like, oh, well, they may not like, they might not think he's the most exciting fighter. I don't agree. I like this fight with Meek.
Me too.
The people thought was shitty. I don't know. I like when people blended together. He showed power.
Yeah.
And that Meek was a freak show.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, he was tall, lanky, yeah. He had some knees, he was game. He just beat up that Pa Harris, I believe. you know, coming off a big win, exactly, came in there, and he was tough. And people did not give Kamaru Usman enough credit for that fight and for a lot of his other fights. So, but now he's fighting one of the guys that I look for. Damian Maia is on a card. I am 100%, not only am I watching it, I'm watching it five times because I will be dissecting it and teaching stuff that I see him doing, whether it's his butterfly hooks, his butterfly guard, is his sitting to the half guard to get on top to take the back. I love his technique. I people say he's Hoist Gracie 2.0 because people know what he's going for and he still gets it. When he's on, he's on. And he's taking out the who's who in the division, in two divisions, and fought for the title in two divisions. That says something about a guy who's such an expert in one area. I mean, he's well-rounded, but he is such a specialist on the ground in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu where, you know, he's just the elite of the elite, you know? And styles make fights, so this is a very – he gets this win. He puts him right back in there again.
I know, but do you think
that has to be the motivation?
Do you think that's going to be the deciding factor in this fight with him? Do you think that if he wins, he stays in the game? If he loses, he decides to leave his gloves in the octagon? Like,
oh my goodness, that's a big question, Phoenix.
It is a big
question. Don't ask me that.
It's a scary question.
Do you have the cojones? You can ask him.
I guess I'm going
to
have to.
Is this the great Damian Maia?
That's Damian.
Damian.
Hi.
Damian, how are you, buddy? It's Matt Serra and my buddy Phoenix Cannavale.
I'm okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Now, listen, you're set to fight Kamaru Usman. And, you know, this guy is a monster movie. In a sense, he won 11 straight fights. He's on a 7-fight winning streak. But styles make fights. So I am, me being a fan of your style, you know, I feel that a lot of Kamaru's fights take place on the floor. Was that a big factor in you taking this fight on pretty much short notice?
Yeah, but that's not the main reason. And like you said, it's a big challenge, especially in, like, I had 2 weeks camp and now this week after fight. So it was really, really short camp. But the most important thing for me was to come to Chile and be able to open this market here because it will be the first time UFC will have an event in South America outside Brazil. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, I was one of the guys who started with that like 3 years ago when I came here with UFC to do PR for UFC and try to educate and all the journalists and the media here. We came here to do a tour for like 3-4 days and you know, to be able to, after 3 years, being the main fight of the evening will be really special.
Now, you said you had like a 2-week camp, which is pretty much not too much of anything. Were you training for anything prior to this? Were you? I know you don't walk around sloppy, but were you training for anything in particular? Or
yeah, of course, I'm not. You know, I always training. Of course, it's different when it's a camp, but you know, I try to keep always doing something and never totally like doing nothing. Like many fighters, when they fight, they just stop to training until they know, get noticed for next fight. So I don't do that. You know, when I fight, I rest like for 10 days, around 10 days, and then I come back slowly and start to train again.
Now, Damien, I don't want to bring up anything negative because I could sit here and bring up all the positives because I, like I said before, whenever you are on a card, I'm watching it, and then I'm watching your fight specifically like five times. I love watching you fight. Your fight versus Jake Shields, I know that didn't go your way, but man, what a freaking chess match.
Definitely.
Oh, my goodness. I loved it. Now,
Thank you.
Now, you're welcome. Now, where is I'm sorry. I was going to get to Colby Covington. Now, I'm going to say what went wrong, like, because you finished – a who's who in two divisions. So Colby, was there anything, I know you don't like to make excuses, was there anything that you felt specific that he was doing that made it a little of a rough night for you that night?
I think that was, of course, Colby's a great athlete, but I think I make a big mistake in the first round when I feel that I connect some good hands and I felt that maybe I could drop him, I could knock out him, and I think I got too excited and I spent too much energy trying to knock him out. And I And then, you know, when I switch in the second round to come back to my regular game, I was already like too much, you know, low energy and start to make mistakes and shoot after shoot. Yeah. You know, I wasn't thinking well.
That's interesting, because learning from that mistake and experiencing your striking and then mixing in with your jiu-jitsu, taking that fight into this Usman fight, will we expect more stand-up from you? Or how are you looking to approach this fight with him?
Yeah, you never know how the opponent will react if you want to. Yeah, I think he will try to stand up more than go to the ground, but... Mm-hmm. I have my stand-up game, you know, well set up to my jiu-jitsu game. So that's what I normally do, and that's what gives me success when I do well. So what I did in Covington's fight, I think was a mistake, you know, when I tried to change in the first round.
Now, let me ask you, now... 40's not old, believe me. I'm older than you. But where is the more, Damien? But are you still, you've shown that you obviously can compete with the best of them and you're dangerous as hell. Where's the motivation come from? Are you still as motivated as you were five fights ago?
Oh, of course. You know, maybe four fights ago, when I was going to the fight, I was very motivated. But I just switch a little bit for other motivations, but I feel motivated because I like very much to train. I like very much to go to the gym every day and learn new things. So I don't feel that it's dropping. I feel that when, you know, I'm not motivated anymore to go to training every day, like twice a day, and do my best, then I will feel that, you know, it's over. But right now, I'm feeling pretty hard. I go every day to the gym. I do, you know, every day I train twice, two times a day. You know, I feel happy to do that. I don't feel like any burden or anything like, you know, heavy on my back. I just, you know, feel for joy to do that.
Yeah, once you get to that sort of magic number, you know, past like 38, everybody always wants to know, okay, when are you going to retire? So do you look at it as like, okay, if I win, that puts me right back to that title contention, or maybe I leave my gloves in the octagon like Vitor did. What's your thought process going into it?
No, I have pretty clear thoughts about retiring. You know, we just did a new deal with UFC for 4 fights. I want to do these 4 fights and then probably will retire. Not because I don't like the game, but because, you know, I have, you know, been in this game for so long, especially, you know, with the UFC almost 11 years, that I want to have space to do other projects that I like very much. And, of course, you know, when you are UFC athlete, you need to be 100% focused on being that. And I have so many things that I like to do with jiu-jitsu and with media and this kind of thing. I think, you know, after these 4 fights, I will be, you know, probably retiring.
Now, I'm happy that you could be fighting at least 4 more times because I enjoy watching you. And speaking of enjoying watching you, now, you talked about doing more stuff with jiu-jitsu. When you're done with MMA, is there a chance that you'll go back to doing some maybe super fights or Abu Dhabi stuff or doing some grappling matches?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think, you know, I will feel that will for sure. You know, right now I really focus on MMA, but, you know, I think when I stop, when I relax a little more after like a couple of months or something or a year, you know, I will feel the itch to do something like that just because it's fun and not many people asking me for that. So maybe it will be something that I want to do, but I want to focus very much on, you know, growing jiu-jitsu. I have association in Brazil, United States, in Europe, and teach more, giving more seminars that I didn't have too much time the late years to give. I go all the time to seminars, but I want to do more. And also I did some nice TV projects in Brazil for Combate TV in partnership with UFC that I can, I can't talk right now, but it will be a very nice some documentaries there about fighting and, you know, traveling around the world. This is something that I really enjoy to do and I want to keep doing.
Damian, you were talking about that, like, you had helped the UFC promote in Chile and more of South America. I was just in Costa Rica a couple days ago, and I was like asking them about, you know, how MMA is received in South America. What's your perspective since you've been there? You know, how excited are they in Chile? Like, how much training is going on in that part of the world?
Yeah, I've been in Chile 3 times. That's my 3rd time. And when I came first time, they didn't know much about that. And then, you know, 2nd time with the UFC was like people start to know a little bit because there was some TV deals here and they start to promote. And right now it's different. People know where the UFC is growing, what is MMA. And I think it's just a matter of time till it grows much more.
You know, before we let you go, Damian, I just want to let the world know that Damian, it must have been like 10 years ago, I was with Damian Maya and the great Bass Rutten, and there was a few other guys, Babalu, and we were in Canada.
Yeah,
we were in Canada. Remember that?
Yeah,
we did some, we were part of some kind of it was a like a warrior retreat type of seminar thing. And the type of guy Damian Maya is.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it was one of the first times. Yeah, it was a great experience. But Damian took every single seminar. He jumped in mine. He jumped in Bas Rutten's. He not only was he teaching, he was also just there being a student. And that just speaks volumes about the guy. Damian Maya, you are a phenomenal fighter and a role model. And I'm looking forward to watching you this weekend, buddy.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm very happy to hear that. Yeah, of course, you know, I was there that time in Toronto. Actually, well, a little bit outside of Toronto. What's the name of the city? It was the city of the airport.
I forgot
Toronto. I forgot.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. So I just remember that, you know, there were so many good guys that I said, okay, I'm teaching, but, you know, I want to take this opportunity to learn also because I love to learn, and that's something that I will keep doing since the end of my day. So, you know, thank you very much. You know, I hope to do a good fight on Saturday.
I can't wait to watch
looking
you, buddy.
Looking forward to it. Always looking forward to it.
Thanks, Damian. Thanks for hanging out with us, buddy. Best of luck, buddy.
Ciao.
Thank you very much. Ciao. Bye-bye. Bye.
Take care. The great Damian Maya. I'm telling you, he's just, talk about a role model.
That might
he's
be the nicest guy in the sport.
Nah, dude, that guy is, I'm telling you, I met him 10 years ago or whatever it was. He went into every single, and he's asking questions like a white belt. Just, hey, you know, and that's the best compliment I could ever give anybody. Nice. Every time I've seen him since, just a pleasant dude.
I judge martial artists off of that. Yeah. So it's really nice to hear you say that. One of the things that really won me over about Anderson Silva, actually, was he was supposed to teach an hour seminar, and it was 2 hours long. And Ed Soares is looking at him like, could you stop now? Could you, come on. Yeah. And you could tell his love for martial arts and for teaching was there.
Yeah.
And when I see people like that, it makes me respect them more as a fighter.
I'm laughing because we had Ed Soares in here. I like Ed Soares.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. And we had him in here with Brian, T-Money.
I love Brian.
And I like Brian's stand-up coach, James.
Yes.
Right?
James is
like,
Larson.
Yeah. James is great.
Yeah. I don't know. You know him?
Yeah. I have them all on my show.
The best is Brian and James were goofing on Ed Soares because Ed, they all surf, but Ed surfs with like a paddle, like whatever. So they're like
stand-up
goofing on him, and he showed me. You had to be here, but holy shit, man. It was funny. But
Ed
said
something to me about Brian, too, that was like super cool. He's like, I haven't had that feeling about somebody being like a true martial artist since Lyoto Machida, Anderson Silva, and he goes, and I put Brian in that category.
For a young kid that you meet him and stuff, he's got some Zen flown out of him.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a compliment. He's got a good aura.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's got that California boy surfer.
But it's like a good, like, you, this guy's, for a young kid, his head's on straight.
So excited about
how
that fight.
How old is he? How old is he?
26.
Is he that
young?
Yeah,
I think he might have just turned 27, but yeah, he's 26, 27.
What was I, just an asshole when I was young? Fucking, I look at these young guys all mature.
Yeah, but you were mature in your own way.
I'm waiting to mature.
I'm not mature either.
Let's, hey, really quick, give me some more of anything, because we got to, before we finish, we're doing a movie minute. Okay. I don't
you
give a shit.
You want to talk about Tony Ferguson?
Yeah, yeah,
let's talk about that. What about Tony Ferguson?
His freaking knee was vicious, vicious injury. It's like an LCL tear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he talked to ESPN this yes. week, discussing his recovery from knee surgery and a possible return to action. He said that recovery time is going to take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But it's a quick heal. It's a quick heal if you get in the pool. I swear to God. Get in the pool if you have a knee injury. Get in the pool. Run in the pool. Do stuff with the stability of your knee. Take the impact off.
1738. A lot of times, I just listen to this music and I just scream out lyrics and it just comes in my head. 1738. What does that mean? It's a drink, right? Somebody told me it's a drink. Is that a drink? 1738.
I don't know my slang.
You got it. These are all like this
now.
Is what the kids listen to, you know?
Yeah, it's a Remy Martin.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now
say
we know.
It. Say it.
Now we know.
Say 1738. 1738. All right. So what are we up to?
CM Punk, you want to talk about him?
Oh, I like CM Punk. What a nice dude.
Can
man.
I say actually about Tony Ferguson? So you know, he's talking about his recovery. He feels like he didn't lose the belt. You know, he still wants to get in there and fight.
Understandable.
Yeah. But if you follow him on Instagram and Twitter, you really see, I mean, he's doing everything he can to get back as quick as possible.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of crazy to see, you know.
No, but he's like really into fitness and athletics and he does like all types of cool martial arts. Like, I love him. Well, I would love to
mentally,
have him on
he's
my
a
show.
Tough
people
tough
call
coach,
him
say.
Wacky, but I think mentally that guy's, you know, not that you want this to happen to anybody, but this is if anybody's making a great comeback, it's that guy.
100%.
I think that guy's insane in a good way. Yeah. It's good for fighting, you know?
That's a good fight, too.
Yeah.
Him and Khabib. Wait, we're going to Russia. Isn't the UFC going to Russia?
We're going to Russia?
Not us. Not us.
Phoenix?
Russia's too cold for me.
Yeah, let me double check.
It's
I think
September
it's September
something.
September 15th, I
now
think.
Now I just want to keep screaming 1738.
I'll let you rap. I'll let you freestyle.
I don't. That's all I know of the whole thing. it's a good verse, though.
That's a fight night in Moscow, which I don't know if they, I mean,
oh, yeah,
more
fight
than
night,
likely
yeah.
they're not going to
Twitter fingers turn the trigger fingers. Go ahead. What were you going to say? About Twitter, I hate Twitter.
Did you?
And it's true though.
Is that
about
Drake?
Twitter fingers?
Did you just quote? Yeah.
Maybe
Drake?
I did, Phoenix. Drake. Maybe I did.
That's okay.
What's
I like
next,
Drake.
Christopher? Tessa?
Well, Phoenix, you brought up. You were going to say CM Punk, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
CM
yeah.
Punk, like he catches a ton of shit from people, you know, because he hasn't been in the sport very long. Obviously, he's going to be on the main card, UFC 225.
Let's just enjoy it.
I give him a pass. You know why? Because I think that he is legit, like, bringing attention to the sport, and he's so positive about the sport and he tries so hard. And Duke Rufus was like, don't shit on him, Phoenix, he's a really awesome guy. Because at first I was like, what you doing here, you don't belong here. And then I gave him some
fly girl.
I don't know
what happened right there.
I don't know, I just get I turn into that when I'm mad.
Yeah, I like
Mark Coleman was doing like a Q&A on Twitter.
Yeah?
And somebody said, like, it's a real shame that, you know, CM Punk is like taking a spot on the main card when there's so many other people that would die
Coleman
to do it.
I don't know.
No,
I give him a pass.
A fan said that to Mark Coleman. Mark Coleman responded and said, I understand. He goes, sometimes you have to make exceptions. I'm excited for this fight. I wish CM Punk the best, but I understand what you're saying. And then CM Punk jumped in and was like, I understand too. If it was up to me, I'd be first fight on Fight Pass. Doesn't matter to me. Fans like to be outraged by stuff that doesn't matter. Appreciate the support, Mr. Coleman. You're truly...
Yeah, he legit takes it so seriously. His opponent's not an easy fight for him either. Mike Jackson
over there,
is...
Chris, the producer. What are you, slamming shit?
Mike Jackson trains...
Phoenix is trying to make a point.
He's long, he's lanky, he's a good fighter. He's, you know, I mean, I think he's like 1-0 or 0-1 or whatever.
He's 0-1.
So they're
like long and lanky, short and stocky. Let's call the whole thing off.
What is wrong with
I like to have a good time when Phoenix is here.
You know,
we
I
have
think,
such a good chemistry.
I think we should go for hip hop karaoke.
Don't fucking. I think so too.
Boom.
Yeah,
I knew that was
fucking
coming.
Doing that.
Fucking
listen
it.
To me. I am psyched for those fights this weekend. I'm psyched for those fights. Are we doing picks?
Yeah, we could do picks. You know what? Let me say this, though, too, because we brought it up, I think, last
episode.
Sorry,
what happened?
Neil Magny is the co-main event on that Liverpool card.
When is that?
Who's he fighting?
He was supposed to be fighting Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson had to pull out.
Don't say it right away. So can we get a drum roll on this fucking thing?
Go for it.
Yeah, we can get a drum roll. Sure.
Get it popping.
Well, I don't do a good drum roll. I do like a drum roll like somebody who's got one arm. But go ahead.
So we were talking. I mean, I think Jim was trying to guess who he was going to fight. And Craig White, who is 14-7, he's making his UFC debut on 12 days' notice. He's replacing Gunnar Nelson. So Neil Magny's going to stay on the card. He's fighting Craig White.
Tell me about this kid, Craig White. Did he just get on because he's Dana's cousin?
Exactly.
Well, how did he get on this thing?
He's on a 4-fight win streak. He fights in Cage Warriors, and he had earned himself a title shot in Cage Warriors. But instead of taking that title shot, he's now moving into the UFC.
Was he ready? Was he getting ready for a fight?
He was getting ready for. I think he was.
What's his record?
He was trending. He's 14-7, but he's won 4 in a row.
Okay.
And, well, he's got experience.
So he's willing.
Listen to me.
Moving on up.
Hey, let me tell you about opportunity.
Yes.
When it.
Knox,
come in.
You get up and
you have to say
door.
Come in. No,
no,
what?
Nobody leaves their door open in New York. You get up and you answer it.
My point is this:
this is how
opportunity
you answer the door.
Doesn't knock twice.
Yeah.
So you get
it. It doesn't, Phoenix. When you get an opportunity in this, you know what you got to do. You got to Aya Quinta that bitch. You understand? That's what you got to do.
Where's the clap?
That's what you got to do. When you get an opportunity, you got to Aya Quinta that motherfucker. That's what you do.
Wait.
That's what you do.
Why is this called the Weidman applause?
Because Weidman's
like
money.
It's like a hearty
applause.
You know
why? Because this is the Longo applause. You ready?
All right.
And that's rightfully fucking so.
All right.
I'm only kidding. He's gonna do the speech at the Hall of Fame thing we're doing here.
What do you think he's going to say?
I don't know.
He might get put
in. Flew here from Long Island. I don't know. What's he going to say?
He's going to get put in the Hall of Fame for that speech, I feel like. It's going to be.
I think he's going to cry.
I think he better fucking pop some Xanax. I think he's going to fucking freeze.
He's going to cry.
If he freezes up there, I'm going to be like, dude, he better not pull like that some shit like what happened in the, you know, like kids get nervous on the fucking the stage and they run off the stage. Imagine that happens to Longo. Imagine he goes up there and I want to say, he just starts, get up, security! Stop Longo! I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Listen to me. Any more MMA gossip? Can I be having more fun?
Phoenix?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Is it possible for me to be having any more fun than I am right now?
I don't know. I'd be a little scared if you did.
Well, I told you about those Twitter fingers, what they turned to.
Yeah.
Now, answer me this.
Yeah.
Riddle me that. I don't know. It's from fucking Batman. But any more gossip before me and Phoenix nerd out?
What's next.
Give me something else.
You guys can nerd out. We'll do the picks. Yeah, I was going to say. So
let's do the picks.
Somebody we're a big fan of, Mike Perry, has been training at Jackson Wink.
That's MMA, right.
Which is
interesting.
An interesting move for him. Yeah. Which I think is a good move.
He needed to.
Well,
he needed to a little evolution.
Yeah, I mean,
he's talented, but a little extra tricks might be good.
I like Mike Perry a lot. Now I'm just thinking of Kelvin Gastelum because he had a little thing with him. We gave Kelvin enough credit for that last fight. Did we talk about that enough last fight?
I'm sure. I think we did. But
I got the memory of a fucking goldfish.
No, we did. We went over
but
the fights. Absolutely.
I can't say enough about that Kelvin Gastelum. I know it's not old news. It just happened. But we talked about it last episode. But you know what he did with Jacare to survive that onslaught. And Kelvin doesn't look like he's got a great wind, man. He just keeps on going and he's dangerous and whatever. I just want to give him another shout out. And it has nothing to do with him laughing at me at the Laugh Factory when I did my stand up that time. Yes! I know I killed!
You did.
Hi, Ted.
You did a Rocky bit. And because you did a Rocky bit, I will love you forever.
Thank you so much. And can I say you give a much more stronger high 10 than Jimmy.
I do.
Jimmy's like a weak little bird.
He's not very touchy-feely. You know?
Jimmy doesn't like when I don't get touchy-feely, but I when I give him high fives and stuff, I feel like I'm going to break him.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's train
you
him.
You gave a high 10. I'm like, oh, Phoenix, calm down. I need my arms. You know?
Let's train Jimmy's high 10.
Now, any other thing? Listen, I don't like to delve right into movies and stuff.
Right.
Anything else do you want to talk? Because I'll talk about other. I will talk about anything you want to talk about.
Why don't we do our picks?
Okay. Here's the thing.
I reached out to Jim Norton in his undisclosed location.
Okay.
He gave me his picks for the main event, the co-main, and the third fight.
So let's do it.
Let's make our picks.
Start it off, and I might want to review some of these
fighters'
records
some,
for the people at home and for Phoenix in case you didn't do homework. So let's talk. Let's go ahead. Name the fights for me.
So the first fight we'll pick is Jared Cannonier versus Dominic Reyes.
And that's a light heavyweight.
That is a light heavyweight.
Tell me about Jared.
Sure.
Well, Five-inch reach advantage, height advantage. Okay. Reyes is good. But what's overall fast?
I want to know about Jared's the history here. How many fights does he have in the UFC?
He has 6 UFC fights. Oh. He's 3-3.
All right.
He has 2 knockouts over Cyril Asker and Nick Roerich. And his last fight was against Jan Blachowicz, who's a very tough fight for anybody. It was a decision loss for Cannonier.
Okay. So.
Interesting.
You know, I know who he trains with. He trains with John Crouch at the MMA lab in Arizona.
I love John Crouch.
Very good trainer.
John Crouch!
Yeah, let's give him a...
He deserves that. Everybody's screaming about the other coaches. Let's talk about John Crouch. Big fan.
Like him a lot.
Now, Dominic Reyes.
Yes, he is an undefeated prospect. He's 8-0. He's 2-0 in the UFC. He knocked out Joachim Christensen, and he has a rear naked choke win over Jeremy Kimball in his last fight.
Where does Dominic train out of?
I'm not sure. Let me see. It says Cage Combat Academy. I'm not really sure, though.
His brother is Alex.
Now, you got any pictures of him? Can you put the pictures up at the same time so I get even more motivated? Yeah. Because I'm motivated for these. I'm looking forward to this.
No, this card might be flying under the radar a little bit. This is perfect matchmaking, I feel like.
I'm looking at this now, and I'm familiar with Jeremy. More so. I like to see the faces with everything.
Yeah.
This is very
the Killer Gorilla. That's Jared's nickname. And then Dominic's is it the Dominator?
You know what? He might have changed it actually because of
Dominator.
Dominic Cruz, but let me see.
Wait, that's his name, the Dominator?
That was his name.
I might have to go with Jared just because of the Dominator nickname.
Holy shit. He changed it to the Devastator, and I think he changed it because of Dominic Cruz.
I seen his last fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's lanky, he's well-rounded, he's a good fighter. And Jared Cannonier can knock you out very easily.
Wait, his stats, 4 finishes in under a minute?
Yeah.
Give me those finishes.
7 first round, 5 wins by KO, 2 by submissions. Yeah, that's what I have. Since 2014.
All right. I'm going with Dominic Reyes, and I'm going with him second round TKO.
Okay.
Hmm.
So I have Jim's pick. Jim is taking Jared Cannonier second round.
All right, Jimmy. Let's draw swords. Let's draw swords!
Huh.
Sorry, Phoenix. Phoenix, what do you pick?
I'm so confused.
You know, when we go over this next week, you're not going to be here. It doesn't mean that much.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go with Jared because I know his trainer.
Okay.
And all right. So I say.
So it's a biased lemon pick. Biased lemon pick.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I think it is.
Could you not agree with everything?
I'm being biased right now.
Okay.
I am.
Actually, you don't agree with me at all. You're picking the opposite guy.
I have to admit that I'm being biased. I'm going to go with Jared third round.
Biased all the time.
TKO.
All right.
And I actually already did my picks before we came in. I also have Dominic Reyes second round knockout.
No problem. Copy me. What do we got? What's the next one?
The next one, we get the co-main event, Alexa Grasso versus Tatiana Suarez.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Alexa. She's tough, man. And her last fight was versus... Remind me of that, please.
Her last fight was a split decision win over Randa Marcos.
Very close fight. Yeah. But Randa is no joke. No. And Randa Marcos is fighting Nina soon, isn't she?
Nina Ansaroff. Yep, that's on that Calgary card.
That's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
Alexa's tough. Tell me about Tatiana.
So Tatiana Suarez, she won the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And she has 2 fights in the UFC.
The same Ultimate Fighter that Alexa was on?
No, this was
of course it wasn't. I was just saying that for the fans. So
she's a really good wrestler, this girl.
Really good
she's
wrestler.
She's like a
really
bronze medalist, I think, in freestyle wrestling. She's very, 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 very good. So Tatiana.
Where has she been lately? Where's her last
She's
fight?
Had a couple of injuries. She fought Amanda Cooper to win the Ultimate Fighter. She won by a Darce choke. And then her last fight was November 11th of 2017, a unanimous decision over Viviani Pereira, who's very tough, but it was, a clear win for
her. I read this thing about Tatiana that she went to get like a scan on her neck, or she went to get an MRI because she was having a neck injury, and it turned out to be like a thyroid cancer or something like that.
Wow.
And then she came back from that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? Like,
cancer.
Shit.
I don't wanna just go and get all vulgar, but cancer sucks.
Totally.
Okay.
Oh man.
But
listen
Grasso,
to me.
Grasso also though, very, very tough, but I don't know, is she gonna try to stand up with her or
Listen, that fight with Ronda was very, very, very close. where I remember thinking maybe it should have went to Ronda. I don't want to say that because I remember thinking
no,
that.
No, but it was a very close
I'd have to review it. I'm going to say Tatiana by decision because I think Alexa is very tough.
Yep.
But I think the wrestling's going to be a problem.
All right, now I'm annoyed.
I think it's going to be a problem, Phoenix.
Because I'm going to have to agree.
Phoenix,
I'm
going to have to agree with you. A problem a little bit. A little bit of a
just
problem.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Not too much. A little bit of a problem. No, it might be a lot. But I'm going with Tatiana. Go ahead.
I'm going to agree with you.
All right.
I do decision. Agree with you on this one.
Thank you. What about you?
Decision also,
Phoenix? Yeah, third round decision.
I actually have Tatiana by third round submission because Alexa's tough, but I think Tatiana will get that. Get a choke or something.
All right.
Late, all right. And Jim Norton is taking Tatiana by first round knockout.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jimmy.
Yep.
All right, my Jimmy. What's next?
And now a tough one, the main event.
Dude, now, first of all, personally, I like both guys so much.
Yeah.
You know, I just like both of these guys. I'll tell you, I hit it off with the Usman. Every time I see him, we get along great. We talk, and I like that guy. I can't wait for him to fight Colby if that ever happens.
That's got that will happen.
That will happen. I do like him, and I hope that listen. I just people know me, and they know my background in jiu-jitsu.
Yes,
but Matt, you won the title with your devastating heavy hands and your fists, and you knocked out Trick. Phoenix, stop it right now. I know, and I know, and I know. But you know my blood. I bleed Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know that.
Yes.
That wasn't your voice at all. That was a I do a horrible
voice. It was
voice
good.
For you.
It was...
you don't sound manly like that. I don't do God. A good girl.
Thank God, heaven.
But I'm sorry about that. I like to compliment myself. Yeah. But my point is this. Is it's not like I'm a guy that can't crack an egg and say, I at least love jiu-jitsu. But God damn do I love jiu-jitsu. I rode the fucking hour today. I felt so great.
When I know you came in here, you had that zen-like quality.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You have not knocked over anything this entire time.
You just saw me get close to that.
Shit, let me just
move that over a little
bit.
You
saw me.
You said that because you don't take my coffee totally away, though, Phoenix.
Just
I might have short arms.
When you want it, just say, can I please have my coffee, and I will pass it to you.
When we came in, there was no water bottles, and they were like, just use a, put, you know, have cups. And I was like, no, we can't have cups.
No.
I like Usman so much, I have trouble saying my pick.
Yeah.
All right, I'll say I have three kids. Usman, you gotta understand. I got three kids. I gotta make it. You put me under these hot lights.
Yeah.
The lights aren't that hot, but Phoenix.
Yeah.
You everybody go first, I'll go last.
You want me to go first?
Well, let Norton go first. He's got Kamaru Usman by third round submission, which is a wild pick.
We'll yeah, that's wild. Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Jimmy, I know he's been sober for a very long time. Is he back on fucking my bad influence? Is he smoking the fucking devil's fucking lettuce? All right, what do we got? What do we got?
I have a feeling.
Did you pick yet?
No, I didn't give my
pick. Phoenix is looking
if,
up
if
the
I
ceiling.
Was, if I was Kamaru Usman, this is what I'm thinking.
What are you thinking, Kamaru?
I would try to take Damian Maia out by hitting him to the body in stand-up. That's what I would do, and then try to go to the head. I would really try to out-kickbox that guy. But if I trained with Henry Hooft. So I'm going to say second round TKO. Like, I think he's going to, because he's just such an athlete. It's nothing against Damian Maia. I just think, why not try to kickbox? Why not try?
I agree.
And I think Damian Maia will surprise us with some of his counter strikes and some of his attacks in the stand up as well.
Well, Damian said it when we were just talking to him, where he got maybe a little too excited because he was landing on Colby Covington, which doesn't. In my opinion,
he's
going
to try to use his strikes to get his submission. Yeah. And I think that Kamaru Usman might just be too heavy-handed and too much of an athlete for him.
So you pick second round.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have Kamaru Usman by third round knockout. I love Damian Maia. I think he definitely could win with his jiu-jitsu, no question about it. But Usman, in my opinion, other than Woodley, is the most dangerous guy in that division.
Just
so.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, look Phoenix. At his freaking traps.
And I think he'll be able to keep it standing probably using his wrestling.
Picture.
Phoenix.
Yes.
Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Can I have my coffee?
Okay. See?
Thanks, Phoenix.
Look at how easy that was.
Thanks so much. All right. Now, this is what I'm going to say, people. If you look at this and you look at Damian Maia's last two fights, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, Phoenix. Listen to me. I'm right next to you. I hear you loud and clear.
Awesome. Good.
You think my mic's not on? You think my earphones aren't
on? It's on. I'm lowering my volume at this exact moment.
I don't blame you, Phoenix. I'm so loud. We had Jamie England. Not that you're not like quiet. So you balance. Jamie English was in here the other day. He's so fucking quiet. So it was like a real extreme balance. It was a balancing act.
Yeah.
He had to mellow shit out a little bit because I might have been even a little bit more hyper than I am now.
Why?
Do you think I lose steam after a fucking hour?
Do you?
I think I'm like a fucking Nick Diaz on this mic as far as with endurance. I think I'm a Diaz brother with the endurance. Yes. Look at me. I could treat this like a fucking triathlon. I keep going.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm against cardio though. But anyway, right now I'm not. All right, listen. I'm gonna go. My jiu-jitsu in me, I'm gonna say first round rear naked choke, Damian Maya.
Wow.
Oh wow. Oh wow. Ooh, boo me. Wow. Boo
no,
me.
I'm not booing you.
Listen to me.
Look, huh? This is there's why a lot we of get guys excited.
I can point. There's a lot of guys I can point to and say, what did that guy, how did that guy think it was gonna go down? I don't want to point the names like guys that I respect. Fucking whether it's Matt Brown, whether it's Rick Story,
right,
whether it's fucking Neil Magny, whether it's Carlos Condit. Listen to me. I'm not going to get into names. I respect all those guys. But I'm trying to say this. Damian Maya! Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Yes.
Damian Maya! All right, listen. That's what my pick is. And guys, gals, I know what you're going to think. We're saying goodbye. Wrong! Oh, my God. I almost knocked this over.
You caught it.
I got reflexes like a fucking chubby ninja.
Reflexes. The speed of a mongoose. Oh, man.
It's the sequel to that the late, great, what's his name? Chris Farley's Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yes.
It's going to be like the Long Island chubby ninja. Me. That's me. Anyway, that they can't all be gems.
That's a remake. They could do that movie.
Guys, I tried. They can't be all out of the park. They can't be all out of the park. I'm not Jimmy Norton with the jokes. All right.
Will you continue?
All right, listen to me. Could you please hit it up there, Jack?
Yeah. Here we go.
Movie minute. You say, and Phoenix. Do that again really quick.
Okay.
Hold on, everybody. We got a twist.
Movie minute. And Phoenix.
No, you fucked it. Fucking,
that was perfect.
Did you do it right?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You did it great.
So critical. Jesus.
I like perfection. Speaking of perfection, you know what we're going to talk about today? Not Cobra Kai. You fucked that up. You didn't watch it. But listen to me. I'm not giving you shit about that.
I'll be back.
Could you please do me a favor and watch that thing?
Oh, it's going to happen.
My God, Daniel. You never thought
Dude,
I'd be rooting.
I was on vacation.
You never thought I'd be rooting for Johnny. If people said, hey, what do you like better? Ralph Macchio, the Daniel's son? Or Johnny, who is from the Cobra Kai, who's an asshole. How about this? Johnny.
Okay.
Phoenix. Johnny.
I have to watch it. Don't spoiler alert.
Can we talk about Infinity War?
Yes.
Can we talk about a great fucking movie. I'm drooling. It's so great. Phoenix, I had to. People, when they drool, they try to ignore it and hope that the person doesn't bring it up. Yeah. I just tell you right away, Phoenix, I drooled over this movie.
I drool so bad in my sleep.
Yeah?
It's just awful.
You like that
I'm
frozen,
such an ugly sleeper.
Yeah?
My boyfriend makes memes of how bad my sleep is.
Yeah?
Because I look like roadkill.
It's very meme of him. All right, I'm so fucking.
You've
lemon.
Never seen that shit on Instagram?
I no, but you have to show me after. What is your Instagram?
It's Phoenix Carnavalley Instagram.
That's it?
Yeah, I think everyone spells a name wrong though.
Yeah, how do you spell your name, Phoenix?
Phoenix, and everyone spells it Pheonix.
All I know is somebody's gonna have some new followers.
Oh, that would be very nice.
Yes.
Hit me up.
Now, this is what I wanted to ask. What did you think about Infinity War? Tell
ever
me, what
since
did you
childhood, you dream of seeing your yes. favorite heroes all together.
This is so great.
I could watch all of them eat cereal and go shoe shopping and yes. still think it's a freaking awesome movie because, oh my God, Doctor Strange and Iron Man are talking and I'm a nerd. So
yes,
I'm a little too. Overexcited because it's just amazing to see them. Fucking Marvel, you nail the casting every time. Punisher casting, brilliant.
Yes.
Doctor Strange, brilliant. Best Spider-Man ever. Sorry, everyone who's ever played Spider-Man. But Tom Holland is Spidey to me.
Yeah. I do enjoy those Sam Raimi flicks. I like Tobey Maguire. He might have been 35 when he played
it. He was good.
Him, but I do like him. No, but this kid's great. And it was very emotional at the end. You know, we're not going to get into total specifics.
Because somebody, oh, you've seen it too.
I saw it. Yeah.
Chris, the producer. Now, let me ask you.
That was
your lovely better half that took you to this movie.
You know what? She definitely wants to see.
Oh, she didn't go with you.
She went with me, but I'm saying, like, she is into it, but I don't know why. Maybe it's you talking about it all the time. I got excited. I went to see it.
They're really what'd you think? Clever and fun.
I enjoyed it. I thought there was enough characters mixed in that it kept me interested. It's not like my favorite type of thing, but there was enough interplay between all the characters that it was like, ooh, fun. Look at these people.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was good.
I like...
And the villain. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, Thanos.
Thanos is a... Josh Brolin. Is a great villain.
Well, casting again.
And it was very... In a strange twist, it was... Is very much the villain's movie, and they humanize the villain. He has a point of view. Thanos is not...
Okay, so Thanos wants to eliminate half of the beings on the universe because it's too crowded and we're fucking up natural resources. So part of me agrees with them, because if you ever taken the New York City subway, you would like to eliminate half of humanity as well.
I know. We'll be on there in 5 minutes. But also... And, you know, to point out, it happened to his homeworld, Titan.
Yes.
We're such geeks. Yeah. But it's true. You can't talk about this and not sound like a geek. But it did happen to his homeworld, and he was warning people. And he goes, look, this is going to go down. We have a beautiful planet. It's overpopulated.
Yes.
And nobody listened to him. His world turned to shit. And then he goes, you know what? I'm not going to let this happen to the universe. And I'm going to be, it takes a strong mother jumper. Uh-huh. I cleaned it up because kids might be listening to this if you view. So I clean up my act now.
Nice.
So, you know, it takes a very strong person to sacrifice everything and anything he ever cared about. It's a big toll to pay.
Yeah.
It's not a very small price to pay. And, you know, to balance the universe the way he was going to do. And I thought that it was more of a thinking movie than you'd think with that.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not just a guy killing everybody.
This is why I love you, Matt. Because we just vibe. Just get it.
And I thought that these Russo brothers, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones. They also, to if anybody's want to check out three movies of Marvel, check out the ones they did. Check out Winter Soldier,
which
is like a great like spy type movie. Check out Civil War, which is a phenomenal movie. And now this movie, Infinity War. They have great action sequences where even when it's like the heroes like fighting the heroes, like not to give too much away, but when the Guardians of the Galaxy meet, they're fighting versus Spider-Man and Iron Man, and it's just so cool. It's just fucking cool.
Because they nail the characters, so everything that the character does with their powers is true to that character. So it's super cool. Like, I was never a big fan of Doctor Strange when I read the comics, because I've only seen him a couple times in some crossover comics. Benedict Cumberbatch, freaking great. So Doctor Strange is like a character that you give a shit about now.
And as much as I say these action sequences are fucking phenomenal,
right?
You know, the character interaction, like with Doctor Strange and Tony Stark,
brilliant.
Two kind of nerdy alphas, but they're, you know,
wizard.
He calls him a douchebag. He's leaning up against a fucking artifact. Yeah. He's stretching out. He goes, well, you know, so it's just, listen, you call him a wizard.
Yeah.
You're embarrassing me in front of the wizard. I like Marvel's humor. They get it. They get the action right. They get the story. They make you care.
Right.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. Zero piss breaks.
Zero piss breaks. I love that. That's how you judge movies.
What's that?
I love that you judge movies that way. Zero piss breaks.
It makes it hard to go take a pee pee. Because, you know, I thought, and listen, people who see this are going to get it. People are like, oh no, that Thanos didn't care about shit. You know, when he had to do what he had to do with Gamora, and people are going to watch this, he cared about that because that was his adopted daughter, and you've seen that he cared about
her.
He cared about her.
She is one of my favorite female characters.
She couldn't believe. She couldn't believe that he actually did care about her. There's the love there, even with her. I think, because remember when she thought that she killed him? Listen, people, you got to see, it's been in the theaters. Go see it. I might have some spoilers. But she thought she killed him, and it was a hologram type thing. Mm-hmm. She was upset, really upset. You know?
It's deep. I think that people don't realize how deep it is because they just think comic book movie, but they don't. You see the archetypes and shit.
Did you notice there was a certain part when they go the flashback scene when Gamora's on her home planet,
mm-hmm.
and when she's a kid, And he actually, when they were like wiping out her people, he actually, he gave her this knife to show like the balance of the knife and the balance of the universe. And he's, it was such a great scene. And he's on one knee and she went to go look at what's going on. He shielded her. He turned her face back to the knife, to concentrate on the knife, not every, so.
He didn't pick that up.
He wanted to protect her from that. Yeah, he didn't want her to see that.
You picked that up because you're a dad. Because I didn't pick that up.
That's I am a dad. Don't get me talking about my kids. It'll be Wetworks in here. Wetworks means murder, doesn't it? Or does it mean fucking, I don't know. Listen, everybody go see that movie. Phoenix, hey.
Yes, my
we had a great time today.
Of course. We always do.
I would say let's go get pizza after this, but I am cleaning up my act. I am.
I have to,
thank
too.
You. Do you say I lost a couple pounds?
I do see that. I do fucking see that.
First of all, not only do you not see it, you made no indication that
it's
lost
hard
anyway.
To tell because you always wear black. All right. You're like Batman.
All I know is I've been walking around pretty heavy, and I went to the doctor. Well, I go get my TRT every week, but I'm not fighting. Fuck it. And I go on the scale then, and I'm like, holy fuck, man! I was at a certain number. I don't get to say because it's embarrassing, but I lost like, I don't know, close to 10 pounds. And then how about this? My brother-in-law Pasquale, great guy. All right, he works for Google. And he's over in San Jose. That dude, you know, he found out about me getting into the Hall of Fame and he sent me over. And I want to thank him for this on air. Pasquale, I appreciate this. You're a very good brother-in-law. But dude, seriously, man, I love you, but I'm trying to do the right thing, man. I got to go. He said, nobody sent me over because he's originally from Chicago.
Oh my God. Deep dish pizza.
Phoenix. It came in a thing that keeps it frozen and whatever.
Yeah.
He didn't. Oh my God. And I got this yesterday. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. And I appreciated it, and but it was, he gave me like 5 pies, if not more.
Oh my God.
And it's so good. It's so, look at me now. Look at me.
I know. You're like, Phoenix again. You're drooling
Phoenix
actually, again.
She pushed back in her chair. I did. Like I looked at her like she was a slice of pizza. I did. Phoenix, I am hungry. But listen, it was, it's so good. I didn't have any. I'm not having it yet. It's in the freezer. I got to go to Puerto Rico. Oh, let me just say I'm going to Puerto Rico. And I'll be there. I'll be there this weekend.
What?
Yeah. Maya West. A little bit. Sensei Edgar.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm doing. Know what I'm doing over there, which is kind of nice. Well, he wanted me out for a seminar. I go, hey, dude, the people going over there to build churches. I'm not coming to take your money, motherfucker. He's a great guy. I go, I'll come visit you, but let's do something. And he said, no, no, we're okay. I go, dude, I'm not, whatever. We went back and forth. So now we're going to do something where it's going to be, we're going to raise a little money. I'm going to do a little seminar over there for them. And it's going to be
in their
local community there, a animal hospital got hit real hard. So we're going to do something that's going to go all of there.
Aww.
You know?
After
I take half of that shit. I'm only kidding. It's all asshole.
I love that.
After they fly me out first class, and I'm only kidding. Everything's going there and. If people see me in coach, don't act surprised. I'm one of you. People, I'm one of you. Maybe I don't want to upgrade. Maybe I had a couple edibles and I want to take a nap. I don't want to have to pay an extra $1,000. Calm down if you see me in coach. I know you look at me like some kind of former champ, Hall of Famer. I know. But I'm one of you, people. Phoenix, what do you want to plug?
The In Fighting Shape podcast.
Oh, yes.
And Everything Martial Arts on YouTube. I'm on Access TV Friday nights.
Phoenix, you're taking over the freaking world.
Yeah, you know.
Phoenix, what's your Twitter?
It's Microphone Fiend. Microphone and then Phoen. Like remember Eric B. and Rakim?
I do. Microphone Fiend. Phoenix, what's your Instagram?
In Phoenix Carnivale.
Okay, don't spell it again, all right? The show's going to have to be over soon. Listen to me. Thank you,
long
Phoenix. What?
You,
when
Matt.
Are the fights on?
The fights are on this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern on FS1 is the main card. FS2 prelims start at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then the UFC Fight Pass prelims are on at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Thank you, Phoenix.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Chris, the producer.
Thanks,
don't,
Chris.
Don't get used to me thanking you every show, Chris, the producer.
Fine.
It's
your
fucking job. Bye, everybody!
Jump into the world of Wildcrats at Philadelphia's Please Touch Museum. Explore the world of this PBS Kids series in the Wildcrats Creature Power Museum exhibit, opening May 31st. Discover animal habits from around the world as you swing through the trees like a spider monkey, sneak through the forest like a jaguar, hunt for lunch like a platypus, and much more in this adventurous new exhibit. Get tickets at pleasetouchmuseum.org. That's pleasetouchmuseum.org.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.